Well, it's always nice to speak to our next guest who joins us quite frequently. And it seems like more and more each year as Crescendo does more and more each year, presenting music that you really can't get anywhere around here. It's funny because we have so many different great, unbelievable organizations, but what Crescendo provides is something that's uniquely to them in this area, and they just do a fantastic job with it. And that is, of course, none other than Christine Gevert from Crescendo joining us. Christine, you've got a pretty busy weekend coming up, March 11th and 12th, at both Trinity Church in Lakeville and St. James Place in Great Barrington.
Yes, thank you, Marshall, for having me. I'm delighted to talk a bit about this. Yes, this is one of two more concerts that we will be having in this season. Our season always ends in the summer when everything else picks up. So we try to cover the off season, and we are very fortunate to be able to do this in these times that are still difficult and different after the pandemic. So it's been a bit of a struggle, which it is for all performing organizations, but nevertheless, we have been able to present many concerts since this past summer. And so, upcoming is yes, it's something very special. It's 17th century music. It is by an Italian composer, Giacomo Carissimi. And I know not many people observe the church seasons. It might be funny to mention that we are currently in the season of Lent, which is a contemplative season, one where one looks into one's life and trying to find the right way. That's something I think very relatable. As the winter still hangs on for everybody, sometimes one becomes more introspective. Well, one of the things was that these church seasons really dominated society previously, and opera was forbidden in Europe, in Western Europe. So they could not entertain themselves by going to the opera, which of course is maybe something like the musical nowadays. And so composers found a way around that, and they composed very dramatic music. With based on stories of the Bible. This is the case of this composer and this so-called oratorio Jephthah, which is a very dramatic story of the Bible from the book of Judges. And so all of the drama that happened in opera, the soloists, the voices, the instruments, the colorful stories and the instruments, all of that got poured into sacred music. And there was a way around the strict rules of the season of Lent before Easter. So we present this oratorio, which is said to be the very first real oratorio in the history of music. And it's fabulous. It's a very strong work. It's a story of an Israelite who was accosted by invaders, and he goes to battle. And something that is not very positive or well looked upon anymore, he makes a vow to God to sacrifice what or whoever first came out of his house if he returned victorious. And he was victorious in this battle, and his only daughter was the first one to come and greet him. And of course, that was a great drama, and a great sorrow gets expressed over this senseless sacrifice. So this is questionable. We will give more context and explanations in our program notes, but we have not to say, obviously, in those times there was no recording and very hard to pass this music on. This oratorio was so famous and influenced so many musicians later on. It was copied and quoted in its entirety in several publications later on in Baroque times and served as a model for famous Georg Friedrich Händel many years after Carissimi. So this oratorio is really something very special. It has soloists, the daughter, and Jefte himself. We bring early music specialists from Rochester, tenor, Chilean tenor Pablo Bustos, and early music soprano Agnes Coxley from the Boston area. She is new to our area. She has not yet performed for crescendo. She studied in Europe and is a brilliant, brilliant young soprano. Period instruments and crescendo vocal ensembles, all together a cast of about 30 musicians. The second piece is a great piece as well, is a mass. Don't be put back. It's quite wild, actually, this mass. It does something that was done a lot in these times. It's based on a theme. In this case, it's a secular song, a medieval song called L'Homme Armé, the armed man. And it's a very popular melody, very strong, also about going to battle and defending oneself. These subjects seem to be very, very timely still, sadly, in our times. So the whole mass is based on that subject, on that theme. It comes in long notes, in short notes. In many ways, it's layered. It comes... Anyway, the whole mass is based upon it, L'Homme Armé. And so popular was this song, it could be like a Beatles song, Let It Be, or Yellow Submarine, maybe in its times, that over about 100 years, about 40 big masses were composed by the greatest composers such as Palestrina and Åke Gemenobrecht, and you name it. This is the very last one of them, of about 40 big masses. And the other thing why you say we do a little bit of a niche, this is a mass composed for three ensembles, three choruses. While Carissimi never accepted, even though he was tempted, the position at St. Mark's in Venice, he was at a different position. St. Mark's was the place where all of the multiple choral music, the spatial echo choruses, where that all happened, he still composed in that style. So the choruses echo and dialogue with each other. So our ensemble will be divided in three groups that perform this very spectacular mass. It's really something very, very unique. And we are very thrilled to have the ensembles to be able to perform this. So this is it in a nutshell.
What's interesting to listen to you talk about it is how much work do you do in investigating these pieces? Because it seems that along with hearing music and playing music, and for the audience hearing music, there's a lot they can learn about life in the and those times, and so much in the music that you do bring forward.
Yes, I think that's a fun part. Nowadays, all of us musicians are to a certain degree scholars, and for myself, I read and study daily. I would say there's not one day that I'm not investigating something. So that is pretty much integral. Part of my life, as much as I practice music myself and rehearse with the others. So the scholarship aspect, and as you can see from what I'm talking about, we do also go quite into the circumstances and the backgrounds, because you cannot bring this music alive properly if you don't know the background, you don't know the way people live and what moved them. And also because the earlier music has much less detailed inscriptions as to how to perform it. That got developed later on. This music was done and performed by contemporaries. So the composers were also directors and performers themselves. So they and the people performed mostly contemporary music, so everybody knew what to do. This early Baroque and Baroque as well, those centuries, they imply a lot of improvisation. and flexible casts. So therefore, we have to study a lot to know what can be done and adapt it to our circumstances and means, which is what they did too. With the money they had, they would have flexible performers. Improvisation is a big part of that. So therefore, you have to perform with people that know to do that, like in jazz. And with crescendo, by occupying this niche of doing this somewhat rarely heard music, part of my job is also very often to transcribe early manuscripts. There is so much music that has not been performed because there are not performing editions available. A lot more is being made available digital from the world, the big centers in the world where manuscripts are stored or kept. And now we can access them remotely. There are also some editions that are done for bigger ensembles, and we adapt them to our ensembles. And I made my living as an editor and music layout person in Europe. A big part of my living I made doing that, and I was trained by a Swiss company called Amadeus, and so I learned the trade of doing music layout. So that is very helpful for crescendo and for what we can do, because I spent many, many hours doing performing editions based very often on the manuscript, or there's so much in the public domain now that you can access, I was saying. So yeah, that makes it possible for us to perform this repertoire that's unusual.
We're talking with Christine Gevert once again. Two performances coming up on Saturday, March 11th at 6 p.m. at Trinity Church in Lakeville, and on Sunday, March 12th at 4 p.m. at St. James Place in Great Barrington. You can buy tickets online very easily, crescendomusic.org, and you'll see it all laid out in front of you, where you can pick which show you want to go to and click the tickets link. Well, I will also have these links available on our on-demand page, where you go to robinhoodradio.com, click on on-demand, click on the interview section, and then just click on Christine's interview, and we'll have both those links there. So is this the final, or do you have something else coming up after this?
We have one more concert in this current season at the end of April, and this is very exciting. We're nearing our 20th anniversary year, which will start this coming fall. And the board and I decided to commission another work. And while this is not yet properly the anniversary celebration, we will premiere this work for chorus and instruments at the end of April with crescendo chorus and instruments, the composer's John Myers. And this work, and we'll hopefully talk more about it, is called In Search of the Bridges. And it is representing some of the cultures that are present in the U.S., African American, Native American, Latin American, and Asian American. And so there are four numbers, and they are on poetry of all four women, most of whom are still alive. And oh, this is something to really look forward. It's a lovely work, and also uses some of the instruments, Latin American and Native Indian flutes and so forth. So yes, end of April, 28 and 30, we have our final concert of the season. Well, and Marshall, I wanted to say one more thing. I know times are rough for many people. Crescendo offers a limited number of free tickets as well. They are first come, first served on that basis. If somebody cannot afford, please write to us at crescendo@crescendomusic.org, and we can give away a few tickets for free. So please don't hesitate, write to us. And if it's within the contingent, we will be able to do that. We'd love to.
All right. Once again, those concerts are coming up on Saturday, March 11th, Trinity Church at Lakeville at 6, and Sunday, March 12th, 4 p.m. St. James Place in Great Barrington. Of course, more information on the web at crescendomusic.org. Christine, always great to talk with you, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that performance, which is coming up in April.
Thank you so much, Marshall.